Tonight is Monday night, June 18th. Bet Tammuz, and Moshe Wertenthal is here tonight. So, this is the Gemara share, the Sechel Sukkah. We're up to Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. Okay. The Mishnah says, Hamishalshel Defanos, Milmala Lamata, if somebody decided to build his sukkah by starting having schach put up and then build the walls going down. That's the case. So he's making his sukkah and he's starting up at the schach and he's building the he put up, let's say, four poles just to hold up the schach or something, or he's got a net tying, he's got some string tying it to someplace. The schach is standing there in the loft without any wall, and now he's going to build walls to surround the schach. Im gavoha min ha'aretz shloisha tvachim psula. If the walls exceed three tfachim off the ground, these walls are pasul. Then the sukkah is pasul, because a wall that does not reach within three tfachim of the ground is not called a wall. If it had reached at least three tfachim within the ground, then you can apply the halacha of lavud, and it's considered as if it's attached to the ground, if it reached the ground. But if it's above three tfachim of the ground, so then that is not called a mechitza. So that's if you're building your walls going up, down. Okay? Milmata limala. What happens if you're a normal person and you build your walls from bottom going up? In gavoa asara tfachim sheira. If the wall is at least 10 tfachim high, under those circumstances, the wall is kasher. If it's less than 10 tfachim, it's not kasher. Rabbi Yossi Omer, kishen shelamata limala asara tfachim, kach milmala lamata asara tfachim. Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that just as we stated clearly, that if you're building your wall from the bottom up, the sukkah has to be at least 10 tfachim, the wall has to be 10 tfachim high. Kach milmala lamata asara tfachim. So too, all you need is a wall which is asara tfachim, and it does not have to be within three tfachim of the ground. As long as the wall is 10 tfachim high, that's all you need. Even though it is not within three tfachim of the ground. That's Rabbi Yossi's opinion. That just as going down, up, all you need is 10 tfachim, going up, from up to down, all you need is 10 tfachim, and it does not necessarily have to be within three tfachim of the ground.
So far we haven't had any rationale to what difference, I mean, what the order in which the building construction is being taken place.
That is correct.
The question of whether
we have never ever seen, nor will we ever see, that there is a requirement to build your walls before the schach. So that's what I think you're
saying. I'm referring to whether you're going from up to down or from down to up. The issue seems to be whether you've got the three tefachim on the ground.
Rabbi Yossi says you don't need the three tefachim on the ground.
Right, but
you don't need it. No, that's correct. But
it has nothing to do with which.
No, but his point is he's taking off on the last words of the Chachamim.
Right.
The Chachamim said that if you're going down to up, what is the only requirement that you require?
That's
fine. Okay. So now, Rabbi Yossi says, that's the only requirement that I have going down to up, that the wall be 10 tefachim.
And the Chachamim?
The Chachamim say that's not sufficient. whether it's 10 tfachim or not, is not sufficient. It also has to reach within 3 tfachim of the ground. That Rabbi Yossi disagrees.
But the direction should matter.
You start 3 tfachim above the ground.
Okay, but that's not what milmata means. He assumes that the word milmata means you're starting on the ground.
The first day is milmala. Right, it's like going, they say he's going up, down. If I'm going down,
I'm going
top down.
But the Mishnah says, I'm telling you that it lamata in this case doesn't mean all the way to the ground. It means up to shlosha tfachim. It makes no difference which way you build it.
Right, so the whole issue of direction is really irrelevant. It's a question of where the walls are going to be, where there's actually going to be wall.
Correct.
So, I mean, the whole description of going up or down, which direction you're
to be... Yeah, I grant you that.
Okay, that's
correct. According to the makes no difference whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's just that...
But the
assumption is that when it says the word milmata, it means you started on the ground. That's just the assumption. But you're right, it really makes no difference. If you started one tefach off the ground, and you started going up, that will also be technically milmata lemala, and will be just as good, 100%. In which case?
In the first case.
That's milmala lemata. Of course, you're building it top down.
It doesn't have to, we're saying. You don't have to do that.
No. Of course, you don't have to. In the second case is milmata lamala.
Right, but in the first case,
everyone agrees he's building it top down.
We just said it doesn't matter. Let me start, I have a prefab wall.
Now, he's asking me the other case.
No, the first
where you build milmata lamala.
Yeah.
What did the Mishnah say?
You have that 10-5.
Good. Now, what happens if you build milmata lamala and you don't start exactly at ground level? You start one tefach above. How high does the wall have to be?
10
tefach. No, it doesn't.
No, it has to be.
Only has to be 9.
Right. It has to reach 9 tefach. 10 tefach.
Correct.
Right.
Right. So in effect, you really acknowledge that you apply the halacha of lavud whether you're going up to down or down to up.
Right.
You'll always apply the halacha of lavud. But the Mishnah understands that the case, which is when it says the word lamata, you didn't start a tefach off the ground, you started on the ground, and therefore it says, what is the minimum height? Asara tefach. Yeah. Now, the only point which is debated here is Rabbi Yossi, who obviously claims that this, you don't need, the halacha of lavud is not necessary. As long as the mechitza itself is asara tfachim, it can be kosher, even though it is not within 3 tfachim of the ground. That we've never seen yet. That you will allow a mechitza more than 10 tfachim high, at least 10 tfachim high, suspended off the ground, more than 3 tfachim. We have never yet seen such opinion before tonight.
When did we see that it was possible? Was that
discussed? No. Because we often discuss that love, we've applied the halacha, we've mentioned this halacha in relation to the lavud, that you don't need the mechitza to actually touch the ground, we've mentioned that. And we are, because whenever we mentioned it, it was operating on the Chachamim's opinion, that if it's more than 3 tefachim above the ground, it's undoubtedly possible, even if the wall is 50 feet long.
Why is it possible?
Because a mechitza has to be on the ground. We'll see why in a second. A mechitza has to be on the ground. So now the Gemara will get to this issue right away, and it's not an easy, like many of the other topics we've had, not necessarily an easy topic. Asks the Gemara, Bimai Kamifli, what exactly is the point of contention between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim? Mar Savar Mechitza Tluya Materes. Rav Yossi is of the opinion that a suspended mechitza is effective, works. Umar Savar and the Chachamim are of the opinion Mechitza Tluya Eina Materes, that a mechitza which is suspended off the ground doesn't work. Obviously, that's the nature of the debate between the two cases. Yeah. Now, I'm just going to read a little in the Gemara because there's a phrase here in the Gemara which will help serve as a catalyst to what's happening here. Tanan Hasam. The Gemara is going to challenge this analysis of the Machlokes. The Mishnah says, Bar Shebein Shtei Chatzeros Ein Mimalin Mimena B'Shabbos Ela Im Kein Asala Mechitza Asara Tfachem Bein Milmala Bein Milmata Bein B'Soch Ogno. Here is the case. You have two courtyards that are right next to one another. Two yards that are right next to one another. There is a bar, a pit of water that runs underground, and the pit is partially in one chatzer, partially in the next chatzer. The halacha is that, let's assume, Rabotai, there was no Tinek Eruv. No Tinek Eruv. So, let me just see, Moshe and Scott Zecker. They are back to back, right? Think you're back to back. Now, even though their backyards are contiguous to one another, and they are both private property, the halacha is you are not permitted to carry from private property A to private property B. Even though you are not going into Rosh Hashanah. You're transferring it directly from Rosh Hashanah into Rosh Hashanah. Even if there are walls around the property, you cannot do so. Why? Because mitrabanan, each individual rishus prohibits carrying in the other rishus. That whenever you have what is called chiluk rishuyot, separate residences, separate legal apartments, each one of the owners who share this common yard, common space, prohibit the other from carrying in this particular situation. This is true in an apartment building. An apartment building is undoubtedly a Rosh Hashanah. It's surrounded by four walls. It's an apartment building. Yet, you're not allowed to carry midrabanan in the hallway of the apartment building. Why? Because each of the tenants, as separate independent units, prohibit someone else from carrying in the common space. The only way to overcome that is by making an eruve chatzeros. Not what we call an eruv, putting up poles. You don't have to put up any poles, because it's surrounded by a wall. You have to be me'arev. You have to demonstrate that there is something joining all of the properties into one. So what you do is you have a box of matzahs, and the box of matzahs is now owned by all of the residences in this apartment, all the residents in this apartment, and that enables you to carry in this particular place. That's how even the community-wide eruv is based as well. Community-wide eruv also needs the poles and the wire, because you have to have an outer perimeter, because there are no walls around Tinek. But even if there were walls, you still would require an eruv. Now, this water, even though you lower your bucket and lower it into the pit, which is on your side of the property, the halacha says waters don't stand still. What a chiddush. Water doesn't stand still. And therefore, the waters are always mixing up with one another, and therefore when I draw water from my bucket, I am actually taking water from your side of the courtyard, and that violates an Issur Hitzah Midrabana. So, and of course we don't like each other, and therefore we're not going to make an eruv, which would have been very simple, just taking a piece of challah and gone ahead and make this eruv. But we're not going to do that. So now the Mishnah here will describe how we go about creating a barrier in the pit to legally separate the waters of the pit. Just imagine, Rabotai, that there was a real wall in the middle of the pit. A real wall in the middle of the pit. Which is at least 10 tefachim high. So there wouldn't be a problem. Why? Because the barrier would determine that on this side of the barrier it belongs to me, that side of the barrier belongs to you, and the problem. Now, however, what they're going to do is they don't want to put a barrier in the pit itself. Obviously, it'll perhaps contaminate the pit. So you want to try to create a mechitza that's at least asara tefachim. How? Bein milamata, bein milamata, bein besoch ogno. You are going to create a mechitza that's 10 tefachim high, and it can be any place. It can be close to the water level, it can be above the water level, and it, as long as it is what? Done for one purpose. That you have made this mechitza for the purpose of dividing the water, and the wall, at least part of it, should be within the lip of the pit itself. There is a pit which goes down and the water is below. As long as part of the wall is within the pit, that is considered sufficient. Okay? So now you have your mechitza which halachically divides this particular pit. You can see where we're getting to. Well, what direction do you think we're headed to? Because here the wall itself is not going into the water. So what type of a mechitza is this going to be? A mechitza tluya, a suspended mechitza. And apparently it does work. That's why the Gemara is quoting this here. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says, no. Beit Shammai Omrim, he says, there is a machloikis about this. Beit Shammai Omrim milmala, Ubeis Hillel Omrim Milmata. Beis Shammai says that all you need is to make the fence. You don't even have to make it within the lip. If you'll put it on the top of the lip, that is sufficient. And it is only Hillel who says it must be Milmata within the lip of the pit itself. Only Hillel says that. Tosfos points out that all texts have the opinions reversed, because Shammai more often than is the Machmir and Hillel is the Mekel. So they change the names and claim that it is Shammai who demands that the wall itself be below the pit level, and Hillel says no, it can even be on top as well. Amar Rav Yehuda. Amar Rav Yehuda, lo tehe mechitza gedoyla min hakoyso shebineyen. Rav Yehuda says, you do not have to make a specific mechitza for this water, for this pit. You don't have to do so. Why? If there is any type of a wall that is hanging above, even above the pit, that wall, even if it's not made specifically for this amatamayim, for this water, it's perfectly okay. Why? Because he believes in all cases, as we will soon see, that mechitza Tiluya is materis. Any type of hanging wall is considered a legitimate wall, and therefore nothing more need to be added to this particular repit.
He disagrees just on the corners, whether it's a shamar or a cell, it doesn't need to be in the lip.
Doesn't have to be a lip, plus it doesn't have to be made l'shem kach, specific.
This could be there, it's good.
Correct. The first opinion, the Tanakhama's opinion, and Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion, is that it had to be made specifically for this, and it's only going to be a special cooler that we will allow just for the water. We're going to get to it. And under normal circumstances, it's not going to work. It's a special cooler that is made only to access water, and it must be made bichavana for this purpose. We'll get to it in a few seconds. Rabbi Yehuda says, absolutely not. It can be placed any place, exactly like Hillel said. Plus, it could have been there before, not necessarily designed as the masik, the mechitza, between the two sides of the yard. Amar Rabba Barachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, Beshitas Rabbi Yossi Amra, De Amar Mechitza Tluya Materes. Apparently, Rabbi Yehuda concurs with our Mishnah, who says that Mechitza Tluya is Materes. Who is the author in the opinion in our Mishnah says that Mechitza Tluya is Materes? Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said that if you started building from the top down, you started from the schach, and you built a wall which is 10 tefachim high, even if it does not reach within 3 tefachim of the ground, the wall is considered good. Why is the wall good? Because Mechitza Tluya Materes. Apparently, Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, in the Brisa, concerning the water with the two courtyards, agrees with this opinion. Says the Gemara, it ain't necessarily so. V'loihi. No. Lo Rabbi Yehuda Sovel Ak Rabbi Yossi. V'lo Rabbi Yossi Sovel Ak Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree with Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi doesn't agree with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Rabbi Yehuda Sovel Ak Rabbi Yossi. Ad kan l'ka'ama Rabbi Yehuda Hasam. Elo be'eruve chatzeros derabana. Aval hacha suka de oraisa lo. When will I claim that mechitza tluya is materas? Only in the case of the pit, where mid the oraisa nothing was required anyhow, because it's a real mishasayachin. So you're allowed to carry in any event from the pit. You're allowed to draw water from the pit. It's only in isim de rabana. So mid the rabana we will allow this. Funny type of mechitza that is suspended from the air. Aval besukkah, but in relationship to sukkah, mechitza materes is not going to be acceptable. So Rabbi Yehuda does not agree with Rabbi Yossi. And vice versa. Velo Rabbi Yossi savala to Rabbi Yehuda. Ah, kamala ka'amal Rabbi Yossi hacha. Ela besukkah de mitzvah asay. When will I say that mechitza materes works by sukkah, which is only a mitzvah asay? Avo b'shabbos the isur skila lo. But by Shabbos, where there is an isur skila, mechitza materes doesn't work. There is no skila in this particular case. But he means in general, hilchos Shabbos is what. Is a situation where since the major category, the oraisa category, is very serious, so therefore even when it's a derabbanan, we will take the stringent position and not allow the suspended wall. So even though Rabbi Yossi allows it by sukkah, he will not allow it by Shabbos. That's what the Gemara says. Okay? Now, the Rav once explained what, not just Doraisa and the Rabbanan, and he also, when the Rav will say something, it will explain why it doesn't work, even in relationship to a Rabbanan. Not just the Chumrah, because with the Doraisa it's an Issa Skila. He said it's fundamental based on something that Grandfather said, which we once shared with everybody here. The difference in the funkcia of a mechitza in relationship to Shabbos versus a mechitza in relationship to Sukkah. If you remember correctly, Rav Chaim posited the following premise, that the function of a mechitza on Shabbos is what? Hekef mikomo. The idea is to enclose the area to constitute it as a Rosh Hashayach. The idea is lahakir, that the place is mukaf, makom mukaf, a place that is enclosed for the purpose of creating a Rosh Hashayach. By sukkah, the reason why you need a mechitza is not to create a private domain so that you can have some privacy when you eat your cholent on Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkot. No. The halach of mechitza is a din in the mechitza itself. A sukkah must have three walls, and the third one only need be a tefrach, it's halach of Moshim Yisina. But it's not designed to what? To enclose. That's not the purpose. The purpose is the walls in and of themselves. Therefore, the Rav suggested, using Rav Chaim, that here is the difference. When you're dealing with the Hilchos Shabbos point of view, where the purpose of a mechitza is to what? To create mukaf. Mukaf. So as the Gemara will point out, I will show you the expression in the sheet that I gave out. If Gideon boke in bow, if a little what, sheps, a little goat, can what, can walk in, because the walls are suspended above the ground, have you really enclosed this area? Have you isolated and separated it from someplace else? Absolutely not. You have not. So, ultimately, what your purpose is in creating the mechitza is undermined by the very fact that the wall can't keep anything out because it's suspended off the ground. Whereas by sukkah, that's not the function of a wall. The function of the wall is not lahakif et hamakom, simply to surround. It's simply a halach and mechitza. If you believe that a mechitza which has 10 tfachim is materes, as he does, I don't care whether or not it accomplishes its objective of keeping animals out. It doesn't bother me. It's not a criteria. So therefore, the Gemara means very much. It's not exactly what the Gemara says, but I'm stretching a little. That what? That the difference is between Shabbos and Sukkah. That when you're dealing with Shabbos, where the halacha is lahakifet hamakom, their mechitza tluya is no good. Because the fact that it's not on the ground automatically means the place is not mukah. Because a gedi can come walking in any time he wants. Whereas by sukkah, where the objective is simply a definition in the mechitza itself, under those circumstances, if it's halakhically a mechitza, and because you don't believe there is anything wrong with a suspended wall, halakhically it can classify as a wall.
How does it go the other way?
What?
The other shita?
Which is the other shita?
The people that hold that tluya is good on Shabbos.
No, they say that really it's not good. But because of the water, we're going to make a special kula.
What about the Argentina?
What about?
The last thing in the Argentina.
Oh, that's a kashi which all achroinim ask. Please let the Samani Keshla for 5 minutes. Please, hold it in abeyance for 5 minutes.
So everyone agrees that tluya is no good on Shabbos?
Correct.
There's
a special dispensation to Shep Vatsa. Just as we have seen that in relationship, where else have we seen that to get water?
Okay,
the only pot well. They were coming to Eretz Yisrael, remember that? So there was a well. What are they allowed to do? Put the four poles, right? And could, because to access water, the Rabbanan were quite understanding that you don't have a sink that you can just open up, and therefore we're going to make certain leniencies, but indeed, Hilchos Shabbos, it doesn't work. This is only a special consideration. And that's why, Ben Shammai, Ben Shil, Rabbi Gamliel, Tanakama all say, you have to make it special for this. Why should you have to make something special for this? Is there any halacha? If I decided to put up a mechitza in shul, and the reason why I put up the mechitza is because I don't like that side of the room. It just looks ugly. Right? So I put up a mechitza because it looks ugly. Does that mean I can't daven here with men? Who cares why you put it up? Same thing by sukkah. Who cares why you put it up? Does anybody say you have to build a wall of a sukkah with shame sukkah? It's a wall. It's a wall. Here it has to be created just for this purpose. Why? Because it's a special dispensation. And I will show you, and this is going to be one of the most troubling aspects of it, most troubling aspects, is a Gemara which deals with similar problems, and the words mechitza tluya never come up. But another halachic principle does. Another halachic principle does, and we'll see whether or not we can apply what the Rav said to explain this other principle. Take the sheet that I gave you for a minute. So there's a couple of brackets there because I want to try to keep it focused. Hani Beitzasa de Meishan. There were these little boats which navigated the Meishan River. The Meishan River was not exactly like the Hudson. It was a very narrow, small little river. And you needed small little boats to navigate, very much like a canoe. Ein mitalkulin bahen, ela be'arba'ah. You cannot move these, cannot carry anything in these boats, because they're not considered a rishus hayachid. Why are they not considered a rishus hayachid? Because since they are narrow, like a canoe is on the bottom, it's not rochav dal ramot. It has to be, in order for something to be a Rosh Hashayachid, the place has to encompass at least what? At least four tefachim. That's what the Gemara says. Fine. So now, go to the next bracket. Maskif lo Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman asks, Volema good achis mechitzasa. Volema good achis mechitzasa. What is the halacha of good achis? The exact opposite of good asik. Good asik, we've discussed already. What is good asik? This we know we apply all the time. The walls of your sukkah are exactly 10 tefachim high. Exactly 10 tefachim high. Not very high, that's 3 feet, 4 inches, 40 inches. It's not very high. That's it. The schach is up there. So how do you have this as a wall? So the halacha is good asik. How do you have a lechi when you have a phone pole, right? You have a phone pole where the wires are going across and you're using the wires as the koral dabeyan. So you take a little pole, a little lechi, you stick it on the ground, the lechi's 10 tefachim high. How does that create the tzuris ha-pesach? That doesn't look like a doorpost to me. That's a doorpost with a very small doorpost. You know, you got to have a doorpost that reaches the lintel on the top. The halacha is good asik. That any time something is 10 tefachim high, it goes and goes and goes all the way to the kiseh hakavod, straight, no interruptions. That everyone agrees works. However, there is some debate about the reverse. Good achis. What is good achis? That if it's something is 10 fucking high, make believe it just goes all the way straight down. That's all. Make believe it protrudes all the way down. So now Rav Nachman is asking the following question. Why do I look at the walls of the boat as what? As not having been able to create a Rosh Hashayachid. Because the walls, what do? They narrow on the bottom, Let's apply the halacha of good achas. Namely, start at the level, make believe you're in a canoe, and take your wall of the canoe, and let it go straight down. All the way bottom to the bottom of the ocean. Now I have a mechitza, which is more than 10 tfachim, more than 50 tfachim deep.
You need a minimum of 10 to start it.
Ah, we'll see whether you need, I use that, we'll see whether you need it or not. Right now the Gemara doesn't, let's assume it is. Let's assume it is. It will be 10 tfachim. Or it will be 10 tfachim in combination with good achas.
When you say you can extend the walls infinitum, it's not going to go that way. The canoe wall is supposed to be.
Okay, so, okay. It's a cock. Okay, I'm just telling you what he's asking. What question he's asking. Now, that's the question that he's asking. Now, one other question here. Now, Rabotai, now that this concept has been introduced, what question should you expect every Rishon to be dealing with? What question should every Rishon be dealing with in our sugya here? What question?
So, the question is, if you have a suspect,
good! Correct! If, what's the discussion about Machitza Materis? I have a 10 fucking wall suspended in the air. Of course it's good. Why? Rabbi Yossi is 100% correct! Why is Rabbi Yossi 100% correct? Because I have a lot of good actors. Because I have a lot of good actors. Plus, in this Gemara here, in this Gemara in Masech Shabbos, which I show you, there is not a word of machitz, of the machloikis by us. That there is a debate between Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakhama about machitza tluya. Machitza tluya. A suspended wall. Why isn't that the jargon entering the discussion in Masechta Shabbos? Why is it not?
Can we ask the reverse question?
Go right ahead.
Why isn't good achas
mentioned here? Excellent question. We'll see. Of course.
And it's even better here because we have 10 talk of here.
Correct. Right. It would be perfect here. Would be perfect here. So, based on what we said 2 seconds ago, apparently the two are totally unrelated halachas. Two are unrelated. And we'll see the halacha. I'm going to show you a Me'iri in just a second. It's on the second page that we distributed. That good achas, nope. We don't accept that lahalacha. There is discussion about it, but we don't accept it lahalacha at all. We don't accept it. We'll see in 2 seconds that it's not to be considered whatsoever. But why is it that here, first question, why is it here is the discussion of the Chitza Materes, and their discussion is good acts? They seem to be overlapping questions. Very, very similar principles. And the answer, based on what the Rav suggested, is the following. That when you're dealing with Hilchos Sukkah, I don't particularly care, as we said, about the filling the gap, closing the area. Mukach Makom is not my issue. My only issue is it halachically a mechitza? So if I hold that a mechitza 10 tfachim up is a mechitza tluya, it's a mechitza. By Shabbos, as we said 5 seconds ago, mechitza tluya can never enter the discussion. Why can it not enter the discussion? Because what's going to happen is it's not going to accomplish its objective. Why would it not accomplish its objective? Because Gidriyim, Bokim, Bo. Little goats can walk underneath it. So what is the only thing which the Gemara is willing to consider in Hilchos Shabbos? Good Asik. What does Good Asik mean? What does Masabit mean? So tell me how the Gemara is proposing that this addresses our concern. That this addresses our concern. Tell me how this addresses our concern. We said that by Hilchos Shabbos, having a 10 tefachim fence, it's 10 tefachim high. But if it's suspended off the ground, it doesn't accomplish its objective. So what's the only way to get it possibly accepted? By applying which halacha? Good achis. What's that going to accomplish? What's that going to accomplish, good achis? Lucy, somebody say it like a lambda. Say it. Correct. The halacha says it's on the ground. The halacha says a gedi ain't walking in. You may not be able to see the wall, but it's like an invisible wall. The wall is down there. The halacha has said the wall is on the ground. And the gedi can't challenge the halacha. So even though in reality it looks like a gedi can walk in, but halachically we make believe as if there is, the gedi is walking, he just doesn't see, there is an invisible wall coming down, and he's going to bump his nose in that third, and break his nose when he walks into the wall. It's a clear wall, he can't see. So when you're dealing with mukach makom, what is the only way to compensate for the lack of mukach makom when the wall is suspended? By halachically saying the walls go all the way down to the ground. That's why the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos only discusses the phrase good achis. Because having halachically valid mechitza, even though it's more than 10 tefachim, is not going to accomplish your objective. When it comes to Masechta Sukkah, the point is it's not that it has to reach the ground. What's the only purpose? What's the only objective? We have to have a mechitza. So if you believe that a mechitza which is equals 10 tefachim is considered a mechitza, despite the fact that it's suspended at all, that's perfectly okay. A good achis doesn't, a lomal is a moment. Even if I reject the halacha of good achis, I still can consider it from a different vantage point that the mechitza, which is 10 tefachim high, suspended in the air, is a halachically valid mechitza. When it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, however, you can't even begin to make that discussion. You must necessarily operate with the halacha of good achis. And that's why the Gemara in Shabbos only addresses it. Point number two is Tzvi's question. All achronim ask this kashya. If you should assume that the function of a wall in Hilchos Shabbos is to enclose the area, and for this reason, when you have a suspended wall, since little goats can enter, that nullifies the validity of the wall, ask all achronim, I'm only shocked that I haven't found Rishonim to ask this guy. So it must be there's something wrong with us. If only Achroinim asked this guy's spot. Many Achroinim asked. How do you understand the halacha of Asuras HaPesach?
Oh, by name it's called Asuras HaPesach.
I know. But, so that's a famous yeshiva shechakira. What happens when you create Asuras HaPesach? Is it that it operates midin mechitzos, or is it a separate halacha of Asuras HaPesach? Or let's take the four poles that we put up in order to what? To enable you, the Oile Bavel, to draw water. Don't you think the little goats can walk into the well as well? So by what virtue have the Chachamim claimed that it now suffices having poles? And I told you last week, Rabotai, that the Ran held that that's the Din Doraisa. Remember that? I told you this last week. Namely, the Ran was of the opinion, against all other Rishayim, that the installation of the four poles is not a special takana midrabanan to allow carrying where under ordinary circumstances carrying is not good. No! It's just the opposite. The din da oraisa is all you ever need is four poles to carry. That's all you ever need. The rabbanan say, we don't like to rely on four poles. What do we like? Four walls. So when it comes to what? When it comes to the water for the Ole Bavel, the Rabbanan simply say, rely on the Doraisa. Just put up four poles. I told you this last week, the Ram, or 2 weeks ago. The Ram says that that's the Din Doraisa. How do you understand that could be the Din Doraisa if Rav Chaim is correct? That the essence of mechitza in relationship to Shabbos is lahakir et hamakom, to enclose the place. What kind of enclosure are you creating by having what? Four little lousy poles. And they ask the same thing about Surah Sapetach. So you're right, that's part of the yeshivish jargon. Surah Sapetach might not be the mechitza, but some claim that it is. Some claim that it is. Yeah.
But the Rambam actually requires omeid meruba minafas.
What is that?
The Rambam would require omeid meruba minafas.
That's correct. 100%. No doubt. He doesn't believe in that. Of course not. On a Doraisa level. That's correct. And that thing is only except Tachanam and Rabbanam. That's right. That's right. Right? Then there is a Chakira of the Brisker Rav. And he asks the following question. Listen carefully. What might be the disqualification, and he comes up with a practical difference. What might be the disqualification, should you assume that Mechitza Tluya is possible? Like the Tanakhama say it is. Mechitza tluya is possible. I have a wall that's more than 10 tefachim, but it's above 3 tefachim of the ground. Okay? So the Mishnah says, Tanakhama says it's possible. Two possible reasons. Reason number one is because I don't apply good achis. Because the principle which says that when something is up, you make believe it goes all the way down, has not been accepted la halacha.
But it's loving.
What?
But it's loving.
No, that's when it's in 3 tefachim. Talk about when it's 20 tefachim off the ground. What halacha do we accept? Good achis. If something is on the ground, and then it's only 10 tefachim high, we make believe it goes straight heaven back. But when it's up there, and it has to reach the ground, for some reason we don't accept it. That's one possibility why a mechitza tluya is not a mechitza. Because we reject la halacha good achis. The Meiri is going to say it in 2 seconds. That's one of the reasons which he considers. Second possibility is no. Mechitza tluya is not possible because we don't accept the principle of good achis. Mechitza tluya is possible because that's not a mechitza. It's a chisaron in what's called a mechitza itself. Says the Brisker Rav, I'll give you the test case. You're in Yerushalayim Mir HaKadosh, on your mirpetet. Think of your porch in Yerushalayim Mir HaKadosh. The porch is a little piece of cement, right, protruding from the house. Now, you can't have a porch without a fence around it. The fence is not attached to the porch itself. The fence is around the perimeter of what? Of the... It's hanging. It's suspended. It reaches the level of the ground. It reaches the level of the porch, but it's not touching the porch. It's not resting on the floor of the porch. It's suspended in midair. Says the Brisker Rav, here's your difference. If you believe that Mechitza Tluya is possible because of what reason? Because it lacks, because good office stuff, we don't apply good office. I don't need good office here. Why don't I need good office here? Why don't I need it? Because the wall of the fence reaches where the concrete is. Not touching it. Let's assume here is my concrete. Here's my concrete. So the fence is hanging over here. My fence goes, make believe it's all like, here's my fence. It reaches the level of the ground. It doesn't have to be further extended. It reaches the ground. I don't even need lovewood. But it's still suspended. So if the tzul, the chisaron, is in mechitza tluya, is the fact that we reject the principle of good achis, in this particular case, there's no problem. Because the fence reaches ground level, which is the mirpaset, reaches ground level. But if the halacha is the chesed, that a mechitza tluya al pidin is not called a mechitza, well, this is a mechitza tluya. Because it's not attached to anything. It's suspended from something. And if you believe that a suspended mechitza, not attached to the ground, is possible in and of itself, you will not be able to carry on your own mirpeset. If it's enclosed in such a fashion. If anybody think, if you have apartments in Yerushalayim, I'm sure you have a mirpeset, think how the fence of the mirpeset is. Most of the times it's on the floor, the base of the mirpeset itself. But that's a test case which he designed to show you what would be the difference as to how you understand this particular halacha. Yeah.
So there's no one said that the Tluya is one of the three
If it's within three fucking, it's not the Tluya.
But
there's
something here. The fact that it's suspended, it comes to the Tluya on the ground, it's not the Tluya. I mean, why do you assume that the fact is suspended? So what?
No, because here, normally, if it's within three fucking of the ground, it's directly in the... Here, it's 50 tefachim off the ground.
But the case of repeset, right?
Right.
Is it
not touching the repeset at all?
At all.
Absolutely. No connection to the repeset. That's the problem. It's not touching the repeset. So if you looked at it from where it's from its ground level, it's ground level, it's 50 feet, it's on the second floor, the third floor.
So how would good achis apply there also?
Because if you need good achis, you need good achis to your, to the platform here, it's enclosing the platform. It is enclosing the platform. It's right next to the platform. So I don't need the halakha of good achis.
Because it's near the repetitive.
Correct. It's near the repetitive. Nothing to do with the ground. It's right near the mirpeset, which is for the inside of the mirpeset. That's the ground level. For the area which is being mukav, that's the ground level.
But
it's still suspended.
The other way, it's the ground.
Correct. But it's still suspended. Okay. Here, let's make your case that it's suspended. That's the illustration. The case where it's not touching the mirpeset at all. That's all. Okay, I have to stop a couple of minutes early tonight, and Okay.